talking with Dale Moore from American Farm Bureau. No shortage of things that we could probably be talking about today, Dale, but clearly a lot of challenges to agriculture and some of these conversations about GMO labeling, for example. We might start right exactly there. It seems like that is one of the hotter things that we are wanting Congress to try to get something done on, and the Senate has failed to act.
Well, this is one of the challenges, Ron, when we're looking at an issue like GMO labeling. We know we've got a specific deadline that's causing some trouble out there for us, the Vermont law going into effect July 1. We've known that for some time. It's been a little frustrating trying to get a process through the Senate. Anytime you've got to round up 60 votes just to move forward, that can be a challenge no matter how you cut it. Our approach, our positioning on this, too, is that we believe that while there needs to be a federal preemption, a clear preemption of states so we don't have this patchwork quilt of state by state going in place, and there needs to be a clear federal standard as to what these, you know, companies, what, you know, we all as an industry are looking at in terms of what is a GMO and what is not a GMO-derived product, and then move into the process of how do we educate consumers, because this is not about safety, not about public health, this is about consumers wanting this information. And we believe that, you know, the food companies, we've seen this. We know we in at the boots on the ground, farmers and ranchers, we have a role to play in this. How can we help educate consumers? We believe a voluntary approach makes that a much more open, engaging kind of a process. As soon as you put the mandate part in there, that starts to raise the flag that there's something in here that is not wrong or that is wrong with the technology and that we ought not to be using this technology, which takes us back to the fact the science has proven over and over again that these products are safe.
Seems like, you know, as we've gotten closer to the deadline, the Vermont model is going to maybe rule the day, at least temporarily, with a lot of these companies, the way they are moving.
Well, the companies have got to make some decisions. I mean, it's not like they can just slap new labels on, you know, the end of June and be ready to go into the market, because the way the law is set up in Vermont, if you've got an incorrect label or an unlawful label on that product, whether you shipped it to that state or not, you as the company are liable for it. So they're having to take steps now to make sure that they are in compliance. And so in that process, it effectively is become the law of the land. Now, we've already heard from a couple of companies that have indicated when they have run that label, because other states have labeling laws as well, they've run that label through other states and have been told, we view that Vermont-approved label as being one that is unlawful because it is false and misleading based on our rules. So, again, we get back to this state-by-state kind of process and the confusion it causes. So that's one of the things we're hoping that the Senate can find a way to reach a compromise that will get us to that 60 votes, get that decision made, and, importantly, something that the House can work with as well, because if it's not the same as the House, you know the process. We've got to get the 218 votes again in the House, and the president's got to sign it. It's an awful lot of work to get done between now and July 1, particularly in this presidential election year.
Really, I mean, at this point, what else can Congress really get done between now and when they really start, you know, heading home more and more to campaign?
Well, you know, being one of those guys that tries to be pragmatic, if not glass half full, I think there's a lot of things they can get done. It's going to take a lot of determination. It's going to take a lot of collaboration. It's going to take folks being willing, you know, to come to the middle on a true compromise. And I think that's part of what we've been challenged in trying to find something that you know, is not just called a compromise, but truly is a compromise that everybody can work with, that we can, you know, that we can support because it's consistent with our policy and what our board has gone through, that other groups can look at. And at the same time, is, you know, meeting enough of those requirements that folks on the other side of the issue have, if they're truly interested in informing consumers as opposed to going after the technology.
Seems that there are obviously other things that you'd like to see them accomplish this year. One is TPP. You know, you hold much hope, you know, before maybe a lame duck?
Don't hold out a lot of hope before lame duck, but it is part of a process. So one thing is, you know, being realistic, again, we've talked about it being an election year. We've talked about the challenges, you know, when you've got the presidential candidates themselves, at least four of them, making it clear that they don't like this trade agreement for whatever reasons they're basing that on. So this means that we've got our work cut out for us and take advantage of every minute we've got between now and a lame duck session at the latest to get that education effort out to make sure not only do, you know, citizens at large, but certainly help make sure that our farmers and ranchers clearly understand why this is important, maybe not to their specific commodity or maybe not in a particularly large way, but we're looking at all of agriculture and how we can add our expectation analysis, you know, add another $4.4 billion to net farm income, particularly when we're looking at a year where a number of the commodity sectors are looking at a pretty tough go of it.
One of the things that's out there that I know that Farm Bureau is really very interested in is some success in protecting crop insurance. It seems that if you want to call a big target on the back of crop insurance or the whipping boy, whatever you want to call it, it seems that this is one of those things that we've got more and more of the folks that don't like what we do in production agriculture. They're pointing to that as bad.
Ron, you brought up a very good point. This is one of the reasons when we've looked at a lot of these issues, you know, we are aware because farmers are sharing with us as we're starting to get more experience with the current farm bill. Certainly some things that we feel like we need to take a look at. But when you really start drilling down, one thing that has become very important to us, very paramount to us, is making sure that we don't open this farm bill. That's something that House and Senate Ag Committee leadership and our appropriation leaders as well on the agriculture front have been working very diligently to keep this shut down. You know, last year, not that many months ago, we were having a big fight because there was a desire to cut $3 billion out of crop insurance in that budget agreement. Well, agriculture worked together. Our leaders on the Hill worked. We got that taken care of. And the president comes out with his budget, and President Obama wants to cut $18 billion out of crop insurance. So we've got another fight there to make sure that that does not move forward. You're absolutely right. For whatever reason now, we've got a bullseye painted on crop insurance, again, by those folks who are kind of the self-appointed farm policy enforcers. And we're just encouraging folks to follow the lead, follow the leadership of our House and Senate leaders on the agriculture front to protect this. Keep the farm bill closed. We'll get an opportunity here before you know it to start talking about the next farm bill as we get into next year.
Any early feedback that you're getting from members or from, you know, others as you've talked to them in regards to the effectiveness of the Title I Safety Net Programs, PLC and ARC?
It's been kind of mixed, honestly, and I think a lot of it, I quote President Duvall, our new AFBF president, American Farm Bureau president. He was asked that question recently at a hearing. What are you hearing about how the farm bill is working? And he smiled and he said, well, I'm not quite sure what to tell you because a lot of our members are still figuring it out. You know, we really just this last year started seeing the results from the 2014 crop and some of the 2015 issues. We know that cotton producers, for example, have been having some challenges with the way the STACK program worked. We've been trying to find some solutions there, particularly with the big hammer, you know, that's dropped on their particular markets. We've also seen it with the corn folks and some of the soybean folks on the ARC payment side, where there's some disparities from county to county, neighboring county to neighboring county. Those kinds of issues we're sorting out, and on top of all of that, trying to make sure that while we're working to protect the farm bill and working to perfect the farm bill, that we don't take bigger hits on the regulatory creep front as well.
American Farm Bureau's Dale Moore talking with us at Washington Watch of the National Association of Farm Broadcasters for 2016. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.